I, in prayer, felt to preach about this story that's an old story. You've heard it. You've been around church at all many times. And we're going to preach from the meaning of this story. And I hope that you'll apply it to your heart. Let the Lord talk to you. Chapter 19 of the book of Luke. Just the story of Zacchaeus. I've heard it since a child. The Lord came into Zacchaeus' life on this memorable day depicted in Luke 19. This could be your day. I'm hoping tonight that you will give undivided attention to the Word of God. For you see, the Lord is passing your way. You may not get another chance. I feel so impressed to pray one more time that conviction will rest heavily on the unsaved here tonight. Would you pray for every unsaved person here tonight? In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. Lord, you're able to do what we cannot do. You're able, Lord, to move tonight. Bind every hindrance, O God. In the name of the Lord God of glory, we pray. Praise God. And everyone said, in Jesus' name. Please be seated. Verse 1 depicts in this story, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans. The character is introduced. Your name could be placed there. For the Lord is passing by your way. Zacchaeus was chief among the publicans. They were a group of tax collectors employed by the Roman authorities to gather the taxes from the Jewish people. To borrow a phrase that we know well, the Roman government would give to Roman noblemen territorial rights or a franchise to gather taxes for Rome. The noblemen in turn would subcontract the right to gather these taxes to Jews, of which Zacchaeus was one. If you lived in the area as a Jew, you would highly resent this because you were in servitude to Rome. But it was a quick way to make a buck and an easy way for an easy living. Publicans were scorned and looked down upon. Jesus in 21:31 of Matthew said, the publicans and harlots go into the kingdom of God, thereby classifying them with the lowest on the moral ladder. Yes, my friend, it would be a custom to use your office to feather your nest. To skim the cream, as it were. For I read in John the Baptist's admonition to a bunch of these publicans he was about to baptize in Luke 3, 12, and 13, exact no more than that which is appointed you. Evidently, there was a habit of exacting more. But you see, the Word of God equates publicans with those that were way down deep in sin segregation. We hear the story told in Luke 18, verse 11, of a Pharisee, a righteous so-called man, and a publican in the temple praying. The Pharisee told God how great he was. He fasted twice a week, paid tithes of all he possessed. There's your scripture for gross, not net. And he looked at this publican and told God, he said, I'm glad I'm not as other men, nor even as this publican. He thought he was all right. The publican, realizing was nothing, wouldn't even lift his face up, but smote himself on the chest and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now there's one thing about people that know they're in gross sin. They will openly admit, I'm lost, I'm a sinner, I'm not a churchgoer. Thus were these publicans. I hope tonight that you're willing to confess your sin. I hope you're willing tonight to admit you need the Lord. For only those of us that have admitted we needed God have found God. Thereby we come to one of the underlying themes of tonight's message. It's a nasty word called pride. For you see, we think sometimes we are better than we really are. And we don't need that Holy Ghost and that repentance and that baptism in Jesus' name and that churchianity business. You see, we're doing pretty well, thank you, sir. And we don't need all that tongue talking and hand clapping and living for God the way you Pentecostals are preaching. But you don't really know your desperate condition until you accept the Bible term of what you really are. A publican knew he was no good because he would stoop to do what he was doing. For instance, my friend, if you would read of Matthew, he was a publican. 5:27, Luke 10, verse 3 of Matthew. And yet the Lord called him at the very receipt of custom to follow him. I believe the Lord can call anybody from any walk of life. In fact, the Bible majors on this. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26, where you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty and base things of the world. And things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are. You see, God can take a nobody and make a somebody out of them. So I'm not interested in how black your heart is and how dirty your sin was, how filthy and immoral your activities were. We just want you to admit you're a sinner. You're lost. You're unclean. You're filthy. You're polluted. And that's all it takes. If you'll come to the Lord, He can work a miracle in your life. So here we have Zacchaeus. The Bible said he was chief among the publicans. And then it adds, and he was rich. Not an incidental commentary by the Holy Spirit, for I believe the reason he was rich is because he was a publican. He had used his office to make a lot of money. Ever how crooked it was, I don't know, but I do know he was rich. I don't know your financial status and really couldn't care less. But I want to tell you something, kind sir and kind ma'am. If you think money will bring you happiness, you are dumb tonight. If you think for one moment that making a lot of money means that you're going to have a lifetime of real happiness, you don't know where the action is, sir. Real joy is in the Holy Spirit. Real joy is knowing your sins are forgiven and under the blood and your name's in the book of life and you've got a mansion beyond this veil of tears. Now the Bible plainly tells me of groups of people in 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 5 supposing that gain is godliness. Now I thank God for America and the free give and take of capitalism. I appreciate this. But don't ever let the American dream of crass materialism become your sole object of living. Just gather houses and lands and stocks and bonds and material possessions. And the more you have, the happier you'll be. It is not so. Gain is not godliness. Amen. I want to tell you that godliness with contentment is great gain. I want to tell you, we brought nothing into this world, and we're going to carry nothing out. I don't care how many houses you own. I don't care how many cars. I don't care how much business, how many stocks and bonds. When you leave here, it's going to be just like you came. Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The only thing you're going to be able to have is your personal salvation. You can take it with you when you go. Verse 10 of 1 Timothy 6 said, the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money, but the love of money, which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith and pierced himself through with many sorrows. Verse 17 tells us, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded. It's really not easy to preach to rich folks. I've preached to successful men in the business world, and I preach to those that have made a score in education and self-made, and not all are like this, but there is a wall they build. They feel like I have attained my success through my ability and hard work, and thereby I have earned what I have, not pausing to think who has been given your heart, its heartbeat, and your lungs, its breath, and your brain, its thought, and who allowed you to live this low these many years. So if you do have money, I want to preach to you, don't you dare be high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who is able to give to all men liberally and upbraideth not. So Zacchaeus was rich, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was. Now I think this is wonderful. Though he was rich, he didn't get on the social circuit. He still wanted to see Jesus. And I appreciate your being here tonight. And I hope that you've come to see Jesus. I hope that you've come to worship Jesus. I hope that you've come to feel His presence. And he sought to see Jesus, who He was, and could not for the press because He was little of stature. There's always a lot of people around the Lord. Zacchaeus was a little man, small of stature. But he didn't let that intimidate him. The Bible said that he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Zacchaeus was not easily discouraged. And I might hastily add to you that want to find the Lord, don't be easily discouraged. If you don't find what you need tonight, you come on back in desperation, because God will honor your desperation if you'll stay with it. Zacchaeus didn't give up easily. There's an adage in the world that says winners never quit and quitters never win. And I'm admonishing you tonight that the Lord wants to save you. I believe that. 22:17 of Revelation. 6:37 of John. 1 Timothy 2 verse 4. 1 Timothy 1 verse number 15. And this very 19 of Luke verse 10. 5:32 of Luke. 9:56 of Luke. 2:39 of the book of Acts. All of these tells me that God wants to save you. He wants you to have peace and joy. Can the saints say amen to that? Yes. So he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Now there he was, perched up in the tree, a very unlikely place to find a convert. Have you been looking for converts up in trees lately? And there he was, perched up there, much like a chicken gone to roost. And he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Now, the Bible said, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. He knew his name. How many of you believe the Lord knows your name? He knew his address. How many believe the Lord knows your address? How about your zip code? How about your phone number? Do you believe that he knows the very hairs of your head are all numbered tonight? Do you believe he knows your downsetting and your uprising? Do you believe he knows everything about you? He even knows if you're up a tree, out on a limb, in a predicament. He even knows that if you're trying to act, everything's all right, and it's not all right. He found Zacchaeus up a tree. And when he came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. Everybody say, come down. For today I must abide at thy house. Now let me interpret this just a little bit for some of you sitting here tonight that I feel this is correct. If you were there, you would say, now Lord, you love me like you say you love me. You'll climb this tree and sit up here with me. You'll come to me. For you see, I'm somebody, you know. I'm the chief of the publicans. But no, the Lord says, you make haste and come down. So we're right back to that nasty little word, pride, again. You see, if you don't humble yourself, you won't get anything from the Lord. If there's one thing God hates, it's pride. Proverbs 6:16 said, these six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. You know what number one on the list is? A proud look. You know what the Bible said about pride? 16:18 of Proverbs, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride's going to keep some of you out of this altar tonight. Pride's going to keep some of you from raising your hands and worshiping God. Pride's going to keep some of you from clapping your hands. Pride's going to keep you sitting back there in that seat where you're at because fearful what people will say and fearful what might happen to you and fearful. Pride. Let me preach now. Even churches can have pride. The church in Laodicea, chapter 3 of Revelation, verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. Laodicea didn't feel like they needed revival. I've been in some churches, and I hope that God, you never get that attitude. We need revival. Every one of us here tonight need a fresh touch of the Spirit of God. Every one of us here tonight needs to humble ourselves. Pride. 11:2 of Proverbs said about pride, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. You see, if you're too proud to humble yourself, you'll be shamed eventually. You don't believe that? Talk to King Nebuchadnezzar. Babylon was his, mistress of the ancient world, one of the seven wonders of the world, the overhanging balcony and gardens of Babylon. He strutted out one day and said, isn't this Babylon I have built? You know his story. He was humbled like a beast of the field and lived seven long years. Read it. Daniel 4, Daniel 5, verse 20, speaks of his mind hardened in pride. And you can sit there and commit the same sin. You can say, I don't need what he's preaching tonight. And I'm going to come right back and say, you do need it. Because the Bible declared, catch this, 17:30 of Acts, God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. It's not an option. It's not something you can take or leave and not suffer the consequence of your decision. But it is a commandment of God, all men everywhere to repent. Talk, if you will, please, to King Saul. 1 Samuel tells me, chapter 15, verse 17, when thou wast little in thine own eyes, I exalted thee to be king over Israel. Samuel went and told him again, verse 23, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he also hath rejected thee from being king. See, God won't work against your will. And if you let pride come between you and obeying God, you're going to suffer the consequences of it. You ever read the story of Naaman the leper? 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 11 to 13. He was finally convinced by a little captive Jewish maiden to go and let the man of God in Israel pray for him. And he come riding up outside of the prophet's house, sent word in to Elijah to come out and pray for him. There Naaman sat on his steed. He wanted the man of God to come out and strike his hand over him, heal the leprosy, and Naaman would just trot off into the sunset. But you know what the man of God sent word out? He sent word out to Naaman to go jump in the lake. That's right. That's what he told. Go get seven times in Muddy Jordan. Oh, Muddy Jordan. And Naaman went in a rage. You hear me? Pride got into him. He said, are there not better rivers to go in than that River Jordan? And there you sit tonight. Your pride is causing you to miss out on the greatest blessing in this world, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Man, I don't care if I look like a chicken with its head cut off. I don't care if I rolled on the floor. I don't care if I ran the aisles, leaped the benches. I don't care what the physiological reaction might be when he fills me with his Spirit. I want it. I think you ought to want it. I want to have it. I think you ought to want to have it. But pride, for fearing what you might look like. Listen, I would to God some of you would shut your hair down or off, whatever the case might be. I would to God that you'd quit looking around feeling, wonder what, you know, this, what I... Don't worry about it. You may do nothing more than stand there and just speak in tongues. I don't know, but I do know this. When the Spirit comes on you, it'll be the most electrified, stupendous, tremendous, tumultuous, incomparable, inimitable, unfathomable blessing you've ever received in all of your life. But you gotta crucify that pride. Preach it, preacher. Pride's gotta go. Preach it, preacher. I said pride's gotta go. It doesn't always live in mansions that wear silk apparel. You can walk in gingham, bib overalls, and clodhoppers and have pride. It's an attitude. It's not resident only in the whites. It's in the blacks, the yellows, the reds, and the browns. Hear me, my brother. It's a condition of your mind that you won't turn loose and let God do what He wants to do. You better hear me. If we want revival, we're going to have to say, God, whatever you want, I want. Ever how you want to move, that's the way I want it. Praise God, hallelujah, amen. You will let me preach a little while? We talked about the devil a while today, some of you did. You know the reason why he got kicked out? Read it if you please. Pride. 14:12 of the book of Isaiah. Because thou sayest in thine heart this way, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into the heavens. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will set also upon the mount of the congregation on the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. I. Sounds like some of you, doesn't it? I. Personal pronoun. I. That's what got in the devil's way. He got too big for his britches. Jesus was there when it happened, and he told us how it came about. Luke 10, verse 18, to the disciples, he said, there's another I. His eye got a hold of the devil's eye, and God's always the biggest eye. So he said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Now, lightning goes mighty fast, my friend, about 683,000 miles a second, somewhere in there. Man, that's a moving on. That gets you a ticket in any city. And the devil fell like that fast. Lightning fell from heaven. Jesus was there. He said, I beheld Satan's lightning fall from heaven. I believe Jesus kicked him out. You want to know what I think? I think he kicked him out. But to tell me, pride has no room in heaven. If you're going to go to heaven, your pride's got to go. I said, your pride's got to go. If you're too proud to take on the name of Jesus in water baptism, your sins are never going to be remitted, and you're not going to walk the street of gold. If you're too proud to let the Spirit come in and take over the articulation of your vocal cords and allow you to speak in ecstatic glossolalia or unknown tongue or in tongues as the Spirit, not some man with his hand under your chin shaking like a bowl of jello and telling you to repeat after him, doo-dah, 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 or oh, chili, oh, my high kai, or high C, and teaching you to talk in tongues, that's not Bible. But as the Spirit gives you the utterance, if you're too proud to let that happen to you, you'll never go to heaven. Hallelujah. You see, we're in a battle tonight. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 tells us, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. There's pride in this building here tonight. Stinking old stubborn pride that's coming between you and blessings and goodness and mercy of God. Look at here, friend. One thing you can say about Zacchaeus. When the Lord looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. The Bible said he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Now, I've said many times, I used to climb trees as a kid. As a man, you don't generally go around climbing trees unless you're perhaps out deer hunting or other types of that activity, but you don't generally climb trees. But nevertheless, have you ever tried to climb down out of a tree real fast? There's no dignified, sophisticated, debonair, and chic way you can come down out of a tree real fast. You look like the epitome of a lummox. And the epitome of clumsiness and the local village idiot coming down out of that tree real fast. Well, what Jesus was saying to Zacchaeus was very simple in South Louisiana lingo. Unclimb that tree, boy. Come on down out of there. Zacchaeus, make haste. Everybody say, make haste. You catch that? Say it again.
said one more time. He didn't say take your time like some of you think he's telling you tonight. Oh, you don't have to come tonight. You don't need to repent tonight. Put it off. That's what the devil's telling you. And you say, well, Lord, I'll wait next year at a more convenient season. No, sir. Make haste. Today's the day. Now is the time. Acts 2:40 said, save yourselves in this untoward generation. Philippians 2:12 said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. 2:3 of Hebrews said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6:2. So that just make haste and come down. Make haste and come down. I would to God you'd get up right now and run down this aisle and say, Lord, I want you and I want you tonight. I would to God you'd quit worrying about who's sitting around you. I would to God you'd quit worrying about your husband or your wife or your children or your mother or your father or your brothers or your sisters. I just would to God you'd just say, now look, I'm coming and I'm coming right now. Make haste and come down. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Can you say praise the Lord? You talk about not worrying what he looked like. Zacchaeus couldn't care less. You better get to that point. You talk about crucifying ego. Zacchaeus, he didn't worry one whip stitch. He came down out of that tree. Are you at that point? Are you really at that point? Oh, let me preach a little bit to you. Are you really at that point? That you don't care? Have you still got a little bit of that pride left? Dear God, I hope you'll let it go tonight. Let it go. Come down out of that tree that you're in. I feel some of you are in predicaments only God can get you out from. You are in situations it's going to take God to help you with. And your stinking pride is hindering the Lord from working. Pride's got to go. It's got to go. I would to God you turn loose of that old pride tonight and seek after the Lord. Seek after Him. Raise your hands right where you're sitting. Would you? Raise your hands and worship Him for a few moments. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Pride's got to go. James 4, verse 5. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, watch this, watch out, watch out, watch out, watch this. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud. See, you're sitting there. You want God. You'd like to know the Lord. You'd like to be healed. You'd like to have that problem solved. You'd like to feel the Spirit all over you. You'd like to know what it was. But your pride is still holding on. God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. Mm-hmm. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Hallelujah. Submit yourselves, therefore, to the Lord. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. That involves action. That involves you doing something. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. You see? You got to do something. Lay them cigarettes down. Lay that whiskey down. Lay that deck of cards down. Lay that dope down. Lay that adultery, that fornication, that lasciviousness. Lay down that pornography. Lay down those unclean lives you've been living. Come on now. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. And purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Oh, that's how revival comes. When you crucify your old pride. Well, he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Hallelujah. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Oh, yeah. People didn't like it. Because an old publican, a tax collector, one of those the Romans were using, had been invited home, or rather Jesus had invited himself to go home with Zacchaeus. They murmured about it. There you go again. Peer pressure. There you go again. What's everybody going to say about it? Fearful. What is my friends going to say when I tell them I got that Holy Ghost and I've been talking in tongues? What are my workers going to say at the job? What's my mother, my dad? What's my husband going to say when I come home and say, you know what happened to me tonight? I come down out of my tree and I humbled myself. You'll say, you did what? I went to that altar. You did what? I went to the altar. And I prayed and cried. And something came on me. And then it came in me. And I spoke in other tongues. You did what? I had the Lord come in. And you see, they're going to murmur and they're going to laugh at you and they're going to mock at you. But I want to preach to you again. Don't worry what people say. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Some people think only the Lord would want to go home with the banker, the diplomat, the king, the queen, the rich, the highbrow, the sophisticated, the professor, the scientist, the engineer, those of the upper crust of society. Just a bunch of crumbs, as far as I'm concerned. But anyhow, to go home with a harlot, with a drunkard, with a doper, to go home with a lady of the night, to go home with a thief, to go home with a card shark, to go home with a liar. You mean he'd go home with me? I shot dope. You mean he'd go home with me? And I've done some of the most horrible things you could ever write about. Yes, he wants to go home with you. He wants to go home with you. He wants to go home with you. And you want me to tell you something else? He don't care what people say either. Now let me preach just a little bit deeper into that. I feel that some of you that have done wrong, and all the devil is using that like a crowbar. You're no good. You'll never be able to feel the Spirit of God again. But let me tell you, the Lord says he went home with Zacchaeus, he'll go home with you. For he is no respecter of persons. 10:34 of Acts. Let me preach it again. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. That's a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. You mean tell me he didn't get a hold of something here? The half of my goods I give to the poor. Some people get religion everywhere but their left hip pocket. They just can't ever see where they need to give liberally. But here, the first thing Zacchaeus does is, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Now let me preach a little bit of restoration. Let me preach a little bit of you maybe having to go make some things right. I cannot examine everyone here tonight, and I'm not God. It would do well to talk with your pastor over details, but there could be some things you're going to have to go straighten out. At least be willing to. Zacchaeus said so. That come out of Exodus 22:1. But he said, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. Jesus was honoring his attitude. He was honoring his humility. He was honoring his willingness. You preach tonight, preach, I believe I will. Some of you will never find God because you're not willing to humble yourself. Your nasty pride is keeping you in that seat. I beg of you, come down out of that tree. 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 Simply put, you're going to come down sooner or later. Because Revelation 20, verse 11 to 15 teaches the white throne of judgment. And if you don't want to take care of the sin question down here, you're going to have to face it over there. 1 Timothy 5, verse 24 and 5. Some men's sins go before the judgment, and some men they follow after. 1 Peter 4:17, judgment must begin at the house of God. The most important place on the face of the earth is not the courthouse, the schoolhouse, or the White House, but the church house. This is where you can settle the sin question. Now, if you don't want to come down out of your tree and make things right, just stay up there. Live the way you want to live. Do what you want to do. But one of these days, you're going to would to God that you had come down out of your tree and you had sent your sins on ahead by repentance, water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Oh, there was a time on earth
went in the book of heaven, an old account was standing for sins yet unforgiven. My name was at the top and many things below. But I went unto the keeper and I settled long ago. Aren't you glad you came down out of your tree? Aren't you glad you repented? Aren't you glad you got baptized? Aren't you glad you were filled with His Spirit?
I'll tell you what's going to make me glad. When at the judgment bar I stand before my King, and He the books will open, and He cannot find a thing, then will my heart be glad, while tears of joy will flow, because I had it settled, and I settled long ago. All the past was settled
long ago,
and the record's clear today.
Praise Him, sister, praise Him in the name of Jesus.
And the old account was settled long ago.
Oh, long ago.
Come on tonight.
Was a time on earth when in the book of heaven an old account was standing for sins yet unforgiven. My name was at the top and many.
Some of you sisters, come and help her pray. Anybody else want to come down out of your tree?
Clear today, for He was watch my sins away. And the old account was settled long ago. The old account was large and growing every day, for I was always sinning and never tried to break. And I looked ahead and I thought that pain and woe, I said that I would settle, and I settled it long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago, and my record lay today, for he washed my sins away, and the old account was settled long ago, oh, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago, and my record's clear today, for he wiped my sins away, and the old account was settled long ago.
Everybody raise your hands. Let's worship the Lord. Humble yourself tonight. Humble yourself tonight. Humble yourself. Come on down out of your tree. Oh, God, we need you. We need you, Lord. We need you. Humble yourself. Because